Welcome to The Medley. I'm Blake Crash Priddle, and thanks for joining us. Today's guest is a big part of my childhood because she did the voice of Mrs. Turtle on one of my favorite cartoons, Franklin. She's Canadian actress Elizabeth Saunders. Alongside the role of Franklin's mother, she has an extensive resume as an actress, appearing in popular films like The Boondock Saints and the 2017 horror film It, along with a new horror TV show called From, where she plays the role of Donna. She is also a successful acting teacher and coach, and one of her students is yours truly. I had a really nice conversation with her, and today you will get to learn even more about this amazingly talented person and her awesome career. Thank you very much for joining us today, Liz. It's great to have you on the show.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
Start by telling the story about how you became an actress and a figure in the entertainment industry.
Well, I became an actress. I decided I was interested in acting probably in middle school and went to a really excellent high school program and then decided to study acting, and I studied theater at the University of Alberta. I did a three-year program there, conservatory program, and then I just got started once I'd graduated from them, and I started out in theater. And then slowly, you know, in time, started doing more voice and film and TV. And now I seem to be more voice and film and TV.
I read on your IMDb profile, it said that you were born in England, and now that's a place that's known for theater. Were you inspired by British theater at all?
I was very much inspired by British theater, even though, like, I came to Canada when I was very young. But I was always aware of what was going on. And when we go back to England, I'd always try and go see things. And I'm still inspired by it. And I'm still trying to keep up on what's going on. And hopefully I'll get to go to some more at some point.
Now, one of your most iconic roles from the 1990s was the voice of Mrs. Turtle on the TV show Franklin. How did you land that role? Because that's one of my favorite TV shows from when I was a kid.
I love doing that show. It's one of my favorite jobs. I got that. I auditioned for that. It was probably the first. It was either the first voice job I did, or it was certainly the first recurring regular. And I got it. I was heavily pregnant with my first daughter, and I went in for this audition. I didn't think at all that I would get it, and the next thing I knew, they booked me. So I joined that team, and I loved doing it. It was great that we kept coming back to it for years. I think we started recording. I was still pregnant, and then I had my first daughter. And they were really nice enough to let me have a bit of a break. And then we caught up on my stuff. And so actually what's neat is my oldest daughter, who is Alberta, is my Franklin. And my youngest daughter, Bridget, is my Harriet. Because they both kind of corresponded with the arrival of Franklin and Harriet.
What was your favorite episode of Franklin? There's lots of really good ones out there.
The sleepover one, Franklin has a sleepover, is one of my favorites. Any of the ones where there was a bit of an adventure, especially when Mrs. Turtle got to get involved.
I'd have to say that one of my favorites is probably the Franklin the Fearless one. That's the one where Franklin accidentally went down a steep hill on his wagon, and his friends were very impressed by that, thinking that he was brave, but he was actually very scared. So he learned at the end of the day that it actually takes more bravery sometimes to admit that you're afraid to do something than to do it, than to be a big shot.
Absolutely. Yeah. That's absolutely true. And it was actually, that's one of the things I love about that cartoon, is the good lessons that are imparted through the telling of the story.
Well, it's a great show, and the one thing that I really liked about it was the simple animation, you know, actually was made to look like the original drawings by Brenda Clark, and it made you feel like you were being read a bedtime story in a lot of ways.
I love those original drawings, too, and the fact that they looked like the books, the same books that, like many families, my kids had.
There was another episode that featured Mrs. Turtle doing something kind of funny. She was talking about an embarrassing thing that happened to her at the grocery store where she pulled an orange off the pile at the grocery store, and then they all fell down. Do you remember that one?
I don't remember that moment. I don't remember that moment. That's so funny.
Mrs. Muskrat came in and said, "That reminds me, I forgot to put oranges on my shopping list." And then everyone just laughed it off. And Mr. Turtle said, "It would have been a lot of orange juice if they were all stepped on."
Oh, gosh, that's funny. That would be great if life was more like that when those accidents happen.
Yeah, no kidding. A lot of people don't know this, but Noah Reed, who is in the TV show Schitt's Creek and is also a famous musician, actually did the voice of Franklin when he was a young boy. And I hear that you recorded your lines along with him. What was it like to work with Noah Reed?
Oh, it was an absolute joy working with Noah. He was just a joyful, smart kid that it was just lovely. And we don't always get to record anymore in a group. But what was lovely about those early days of Franklin is we'd often be called in and do a scene together. And often nowadays you go and record your stuff and it's separate from other people's. Not always, but sometimes. But back then, we'd just come into Studio 360, it was called, and we would record together. And that's really where I got to know Noah when he was really little. And it's been amazing watching him develop as a performer and seeing his great success, which makes me really happy. He's a really nice person.
I've been following Noah on social media, and he has done quite a few awesome projects as of late, including recording new songs. And there was one video that he posted of him singing the Franklin theme song to the piano, and he tried to imitate Bruce Coburn, who wrote the Franklin theme song, and he did a really good job.
Oh, yeah.
Now, besides Franklin's mom, Mrs. Turtle, you also were in a lot of other roles. Tell us about some of your earlier work.
One of my favorite first things was, it was a movie called North Shore Fish about, it was about a fish canning factory in Massachusetts, I think it was, or maybe it was Maine, I can't remember now. And that was a great project. It was an incredibly fun cast, and had people like Mercedes Rule and Tony Danza, Peter Riegert, Wendy Malick. And that was my first sort of big role in film and TV. Goosebumps, that was a lot of fun. That was an early one for me. Welcome to Dead House. We got a house and there were zombies in the house. And then our dog turned into a zombie.
I heard that in one of your earlier roles, you had the opportunity to actually dance with Rocket Richard, the famous hockey player. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
I didn't get to dance with him. He helped me off the ice. I had fallen down. I was having a skating lesson. My skating teacher was Kurt Browning. And in the movie. And then at one point I fell down and Rocket Richard was in the movie. And in the story, he sort of miraculously turns up and helps me off the ice. And I mean, he's such a huge, they both are huge Canadian icons. But there was just something sort of mystical about meeting Rocket Richard.
Do you have any acting inspirations? Because I do know that a lot of actors often take inspiration from other famous actors that they look up to.
I do. And they shift in time. They've shifted. But there are some people that Judi Dench is always there. Vanessa Redgrave, Olivia Colman. And I'm inspired by actors, too. Like Andrew Scott is an amazing actor as well. And oh, God, there's so many so many different aspects that I draw inspiration from. And just, you know what, a lot of times it's just drawing inspiration just from other humans, other people that are not actors at all.
I hear that you created your own character that you played on a Facebook video named Auntie Beryl. Please tell me how that character came to be, because she's really funny.
I'm glad you like her, Blake. I like her. I had fun doing it. It came out of, it was something to do at the beginning of the pandemic. I did a few different characters on just my own little videos on Facebook and Instagram. And I had great intentions of doing more, and I just never did. But Auntie Beryl in particular was inspired by a woman I saw on Instagram who in real life is maybe even more Auntie Beryl than Auntie Beryl, who's sort of very upper crust British lady who doesn't have a lot of time for things, but she knows everything. So that was my inspiration for Auntie Beryl. And I love it when old, very posh British women say the F word too. It cracks me up every time.
There was a movie that you were in that really developed quite the cult following over the last couple of years called The Boondock Saints, where you played a news reporter.
Well, that was just a quick day in and out, and it was sort of, it was a surprise to me. I found out via my nephew that there was a following of it. I didn't know what, had no idea what had happened. You know, but that was one that I got kind of, I think they wrote that character in later, and I got a call to do it. And so we spent a crazy day jumping from location to location, doing all the reporting shots. Just, I think it was part of the method of telling the story, filling the audience in what was going on.
Well, from a news reporter's perspective, I thought that you did a really good job playing that role.
Well, thank you very much. Actually, things like that, because we often now see, like, you know, reporter roles, we're so familiar with reporters. It is a little sort of, for me anyway, a little daunting not do it well, because it's so common. We see them all the time, every day on our TV sets. So I haven't seen it in ages, so I don't know. So I shall take the compliment and hope I did it justice. Thank you.
No, I think you did. What was the inspiration for Pandemic Dude, that other character that you played on Facebook?
Okay, Pandemic Dude came out of it came purely out of a joke that a friend had asked on Facebook, something to the effect of, what stage of the pandemic are you at? Just a general thing for friends to kind of comment on. And I said, I meant stage dude. And because I think I was up at the cottage or something, and I decided, I was dressed really shabbily in jeans and just like mucking around at the cottage. And I thought, I'm going to make this a character. Woman that just sort of got so backwardsy that she just became a guy. And I did that. And then actually what was funny about it is I dressed up in all of Cliff's old clothes and I put this fake beard on and I got a beer and I went walking up to my husband, Cliff. And he was like, who's this strange guy that's coming up here? And then he realized it was me. So I love doing Pandemic Dude. And I did a couple of those.
The latest TV show that you are a part of is called From, which is a horror series that is filmed in Nova Scotia. For people that aren't familiar with the TV show, tell us what it's all about and tell us about the character that you play.
From is it's an MGM series, and it's a horror series, and it's about a town where people find themselves trapped, but they don't know how they got there. Because wherever they're coming from, it doesn't make sense that they end up in this town. So where is this town? But once you're in, you're stuck. You're not getting out. And the show is about us trying to figure out a way to get out while also trying to survive. And it's got a great cast. The story, the writing is really fun, and the amazing props and No, set the set's brilliant. The town they built, but it's what I consider it sort of wholesome horror, like because there's meaning in it. There's so much meaning in it that I can draw from it about how we struggle as humans, like in a way, especially during the pandemic. You know, we're stuck. Like we're stuck in our monsters may be real monsters, but they could be monsters inside us. Like, we don't know. And what I love about the show is, like, they've created so many possibilities. John Griffin, the head writer and showrunner, there's so many possibilities of what these monsters are and what this circumstance is. So everybody's got theories about, is it a dream? Is it some kind of experiment? Is it just pure horror? Is it, you know, who's in on it? So there's all these great hints, and it's crazy. It's a lot of fun to shoot. So in the show, I play this character called Donna. Donna Rains is what I've been told her last name is, and Donna runs. She runs what's called the Colony House, and it's like a big communal house in a mansion up on a hill. And when you come to when you're stuck in the town, one of the things you have to do is decide, are you going to live in the town in a house with your family or a couple of people or a few people you know, or are you going to go and live up at Colony House in a big communal house where everybody is supposed to have each other's backs? And I run that. And Donna's she can be very loving and thoughtful, but she can be really hard-nosed. She is she's a fighter. Like, she's always, if something needs to be done, Donna will get in there and do it. But she will try her utmost to do it. She has a lot of pride that way. And she, her background is that she was from a survivalist family. She's always been a bit of an outsider, but now she's an outsider that runs a house full of people. She's a little bit different from Mrs. Turtle.
One of my favorite Donna moments, which I thought you acted out really well, was when she finally gave in or finally broke down and started chopping the wood of the floor. She just completely lost it. Normally she's the voice of reason for everyone.
Yeah, but I think that's the thing. I think there's things that push Donna to the edge and kind of trigger her. Like, there's certain behaviors, and then she kind of loses it. And that situation, it was just the pressure had built and built and built. And there was just so many underlying things, and she finally cracked. And I loved that I got to do that scene. I had so much fun doing that scene.
Did you come across any challenges filming in that particular location? Because it's a very rural area where you shot the TV show.
Not really. I mean, it, like any shoot, weather can prove an issue. You know, so you'll suddenly be, it's like, a rain date and we have to move that because it's outdoors. Even when Fiona hit, because a lot of it's up on a hill, and there's all the buildings, but I mean, they're built strong enough for us to work in, but they're not like houses. So there was, you know, I think there was worry that stuff could happen up on the hill with Fiona coming in, but it missed it. It didn't do anything. In fact, the only thing I heard it did, I didn't even see this, is they went up to look afterwards and that there was a tree knocked down over the road, which for anybody who hasn't seen From yet, it's the tree in the road that gets you stuck in the town. So it was pretty funny to us that the tree was knocked over the road.
When I first heard about the series myself, when I heard about the concept of going into a town that you can't leave from, when I first heard that, I thought, my God, that sounds like a very bad acid trip, does it not?
Well, I think Jade would agree. Jade, for those who haven't seen it yet, Jade is a character in the show who turns up, and he thinks it's a big game, like a escape room kind of game. And he does quite a few drugs. So it's a great concept. Horrifying.
And you had experience working in horror films prior to that. You had a small role in the movie It.
Yeah, I played Mrs. Sterrett, the librarian, in It. And that was great to shoot with. Andy Muschietti directed it, and he was a real delight to work with. I really enjoyed It, and I thought the kids in it were outstanding.
Yeah, I saw the movie as well, and I thought that everyone did a fantastic job, and I hear that part of that movie was filmed in the GTA. Is that correct?
That's right. It was. I'm not entirely clear. Like, my stuff was in the GTA. I can't remember exactly where. But part of it was, yeah, shot in Toronto, in the Toronto area. And I can't remember the other. There was a town that they shot in.
I saw the video on YouTube of your particular scene from that movie. And some people were curious to know, was the librarian actually a version of the shapeshifter, or was she just her own character?
She was her own character. There's something somebody knows that I don't know, but I've never known her to be, other than she's Mrs. Sterrett, the librarian.
Yeah, there's lots of fan theories. You just never know where they're going to come from, eh?
Yeah. Well, and that's actually going back to From. That's what I really enjoy about the show, and I think that's what a lot of the fans enjoy. And so there's so many theories, and it's just fantastic to actually last season when it first aired is just reading all the fan theories. I loved it. And I'm looking forward to seeing what they say in season two.
Well, I look forward to seeing season two as well. And that's just a couple of months away, or about a month away from being released, correct?
Yeah, I guess it's about a month and a half. Certainly being released in the States on MGM Plus on April 23rd. I don't know when the air dates are. Hopefully they will be either the same date or soon after. But it will probably air in the States just slightly beforehand on MGM. And in Canada, it's on Paramount Plus. Season one's already there on Paramount Plus.
Yes, and if you haven't watched it yet, please watch it, because you will definitely be hooked on it after the first episode, I guarantee it. When I saw the scene in the TV show From where the mom was reading the storybook to the little boy, I thought it would have been funny if they read a Franklin book. It would have been a cool Easter egg.
Ah, yes, it would have been. But I think that's the whole thing. Like, the Cromanocle story... That's a book that John Griffin created in his mind. So I think they needed to go with something that didn't exist anywhere. And who knows why that is? It could be a rights thing, John made this the flight of the I think it's the flight of the Cromanocle. It's something of the Cromanocle. And yeah, John made it up, because we were all like, "Is that a real book? Is that real?" But it would have been funny if they'd been reading a Franklin. I agree with you.
A good fitting Franklin book for that show would be Franklin Gets Lost, or maybe Franklin in the Dark, or something.
Maybe I'll try and slip one onto set.
Oh, that would be hilarious!
I'm twisting my evil mustache right now. Maybe I shall.
Well, clearly you've had an amazing acting career. Do you have any advice for anyone that wants to become an actor or an actress?
There's lots of things, but I think follow what you want to do. Sometimes you will have to do things you don't want to do, but keep your eye on what you want to do and be the artist you want to be. And that could go for acting or anything. And the other thing is, acting is a craft. It's a skill. And if you really want to be really solid actor over the long haul, you really need to work on your craft and your skill.
The one thing that I heard from a lot of Canadian actors is that Canadian actors have to be flexible, and sometimes they have to work different jobs alongside acting in order to make a living. Is that true?
Absolutely true. Yep. Absolutely true. Different people do it different ways. My way was teaching. When I was younger, it was waitressing and working in retail. Lots of people have catered, people build, people do temp work. But yeah, you really do need to have something else you can earn a living with, but also to fill your soul, because sometimes acting can get lonely because there are periods where you're not working. And if you're relying on that if you see yourself as only a value while you're working, it's very sad and can bring you down when you're not working. So it's good to have things that not only earn you a living, but feed your soul.
Earlier, we had a conversation about doing voiceover work and voice acting. Obviously, you did the voice of Mrs. Turtle on Franklin, and you did a couple of other animated character voices. If you could be in any animated series, which one would you choose?
I would love to be a monster on Big Mouth. Any kind, like a hormone monster on Big Mouth. Or I love the monsters on Big Mouth. I think they're hilarious. I think that show's hilarious. So that would be, of contemporary cartoons that I know, that would be one.
I'm going to move on and ask you a couple of questions from our listeners. This first one is from my good friend Eliza McCall, who also grew up watching Franklin. She wants to know, is it strange to see a character with a different body and appearance, but with your own voice on screen?
In cartoons? No, not at all. Not at all. Until you asked that question, I never even thought about that. It doesn't strike me at all. Where it has struck me is I did the movement and voice for a character in Watch Dogs Legion, the video game. And I played a character named Emma Child. Emma looks nothing like me. All the movement is based off the movement I did, but a totally different body type and coloring. And that was kind of crazy to see that, because she doesn't, like, she's computer generated, but she doesn't look like a cartoon, but yet it's my voice and my movement. So that's kind of, that struck me as pretty wild.
This next question comes from Grace McCall. She wants to know, can you talk about how you get into character when doing a voiceover?
To begin with, a lot of it's at home, exploring with voice. And I will be quite active about it too. Like my whole body is involved with, and depending on the size of the action the character's doing, and that could be, just, you know, hands and shoulders and head and everything, and it's all moving around in a small way, but sometimes it's really big stuff. But as I get to know the character better, that all sort of falls into place and I can drop into it fairly quickly.
This next question that I have is from my friend Lanny Bowley. She wants to know, does Mrs. Turtle think that what she needs to teach is different today than it was on TV 20 years ago?
I think many of the lessons I think if we went back through much of it, it would remain the same. I think there are some new things that carefully would be added into the mix in Mrs. Turtle's mind, the things to talk about. But I think a lot of what Franklin was being taught in Franklin is very basic stuff.
This next question that I have comes from my mom, Joanne Byers. What worldly advice would you tell your 21-year-old self?
Seek out who you are, know who you are, and trust yourself and listen to your own voice and learn to trust your own voice and to not let other people minimize you and tell you you can't do things. That would be the main thing, I think. I don't know if it would be the main thing, but it would certainly be a major thing, I would say, to my 21-year-old self. And I guess I would also say, you're going to go through some hard times. That's part of being human. But you nearly all will always come through the, you will always come through the other end and laugh.
This next question comes from my father, Ted Priddle. What are you most proud of about your career thus far?
Oh, that I'm still here. I'm a woman in a business that doesn't always keep women around. I'm still here at the ripe old age of 58, and I'm still doing it, and I'm still having fun, and I'm still learning. I'm proud of certain shows, and certainly Franklin would be one, and From is definitely one too. And I'm proud of my theater career as well. Well, it's a little, I do it less often now, but I'm proud of that.
Well, Liz, it was a great opportunity to be able to speak with you. And thank you so very much for your time. And thank you very much for telling us your story.
Oh, you're welcome. It was my pleasure. Thank you for inviting me.
One last question that I have before we wrap up. How can people keep in touch with you and keep up to date with what you're doing?
Probably the best way. Instagram. I'm on Instagram. This Liz Saunders. I am also, I do have a page on Facebook, Elizabeth Saunders, like a fan page on Facebook. And I am on Twitter, this Liz Saunders. I'm not on Twitter as much though. Instagram is the one I tend to lean into.
Again, thank you very much, and all the best going forward.
Thank you, and you too.
And that was actress Elizabeth Saunders telling us all about her amazing career. If you enjoyed this interview, be sure to subscribe for more awesome content. If you know of somebody that would make a great guest for future shows, don't hesitate to contact me with your ideas, and be sure to include your questions. Just visit my website, blakecrashpriddle.com. Until next time, remember, here at The Medley, we're all kinds of different.